The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
But we have a busy weekend in sport because big games are happening in the Premier League. We'll see Manchester United, who go 3 points clear at the top of the table after their 1-0 against Burnley on Tuesday night, facing the holders, Liverpool. And in rugby, the men's Six Nations is going to go ahead, but the women's and the under-20 championships are postponed at TBA. Joining us to talk about all of this, Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, a match to savour, I think. The Liverpool hosting Manchester United. Manchester United having a good away record this season. So, what do you expect?
Exactly. A brilliant away record for Manchester United. Haven't been beaten away from home in a year at this point in the Premier League. So, you would expect a brilliant performance from them at Anfield at the weekend, because let's not forget that Liverpool have been far from flawless this season. They've had a heap of injuries and they've been paying the price for those injuries. In recent weeks, we thought that there would have been some sort of resurgence. That 7-0 win against Crystal Palace was the sort of result, Pat, that you thought would see the start of a dominant run from Liverpool. That has not been the case. Now, Manchester United, on the other hand, I guess at the end of November, going into the Christmas period, we thought that perhaps we were starting to see cracks once again in that squad. And the opposite has happened. And it is remarkable that we are sitting here in the middle of January with Manchester United on top of the Premier League. This is the first time that has happened in the post-Alex Ferguson era. And it makes it all the more exciting. Were the tables to be turned here a little bit and they were 3 points behind, you probably wouldn't give them much of a chance in this title race. But if they avoid defeat at the weekends and maintain that 3-point gap or perhaps even extend it, then they are 100% title contenders. The main other player in all of this, of course, is Manchester City, who we might chat about in a moment. They're 4 points behind Manchester United, but they have a game in hand. They could come between the two of them and run away with this title race yet. But right now, in the Manchester United versus Liverpool battle in first versus second, this is an awfully exciting time for this game to come along.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff about Marcus Rashford. I mean, Matt Hancock made a total idiot of himself during the week, the health secretary, when he was asked about Marcus Rashford's success in getting the government to do a U-turn. In fact, it's a brilliant interview to watch for any aspiring interviewer to see Matt Hancock's discomfiture. But some people, one particular journalist being slagged off for talking about Marcus Rashford and whether or not his advocacy for children and getting them properly fed was going to affect or did affect his performance on the field.
It's a pretty harsh assessment of Marcus Rashford. You look at his Premier League stats this year, he's scored 7 goals, got 5 assists. Last season, his best season in the Premier League, he scored 17 goals and got 7 assists. So he's not far off that. He's actually on track to match that at least this season. So he's having as good a season as we've seen for Marcus Rashford in recent times. The team has got better. He set up the winner in midweek. I don't see the big deal about what's going on with Marcus Rashford at the moment. Like, I mean, you can ask the question, is he being distracted by his work on his phenomenal work on providing free school meals for kids across the UK? But you've got to be prepared if you ask that question to realise that the answer to that question is no. He clearly hasn't been distracted by it. He has been, outside of Bruno Fernandes, possibly Manchester United's best player in that attack, and he's having a really good season. Of course, there have been moments where he's been better in front of goal. He has missed opportunities here and there, but everybody misses opportunities. There are a number of different factors for that, and I think it's extremely harsh to look at that as a reason why Marcus Rashford may not be shooting the lights out every single week. Fatigue has to play a part here as well. These players are being asked to play every 2 or 3 days at this point.
Now, you mentioned Man City. They're playing Crystal Palace on Sunday. Is that more a formality for them? But Crystal Palace can be difficult.
As was proved last night, serving up a good old Boer draw against Arsenal, nil-all. As I mentioned there, that 7-0 drubbing they received at the hands of Liverpool seems to have woken them up a little bit, that they need to shore things up the back considerably to ensure that they can go and actually start trying to climb the table once again. And they've just been trying to keep it tight at the back, and they will do the exact same thing against Manchester City on Sunday. It is the late game, the 7:15 kickoff on Sunday, and City will go into that game knowing exactly what they have to do and if there will be an opportunity for them to go closer to Manchester United if the gap can be closed. City, though, have looked awesome at times over the last little while. Their performance against Chelsea was brilliant. It was their best performance of the season. But midweek, they did struggle a little bit in their last fixture a couple of nights ago. There was perhaps a little bit of a lack of pace in around their final third. There was a last-minute penalty for Raheem Sterling that he blazed over the bar. And a Brighton team that have been poor at times this season and have given away a lot of goals. Manchester City could only put one past them. So those failings that we saw in the middle third of the season that we've seen so far, they're starting to rear its head perhaps once again for Manchester City, that they aren't as free-flowing an attack as perhaps they looked against Chelsea a few weeks back.
Now, in rugby, obviously talk of the Lions Tour being played in the Northern Hemisphere instead of actually going on tour, which seems a bit daft. Six Nations to go ahead, we think, but the under-20s and the women's postponed.
Exactly. It's hard to know whether or not this is the women's and the under-20s being left to one side and being told you're not as important as the senior men, or whether or not they're actually going to get this thing spot on and actually it'll be the women and the under-20s who will now be better prepared for their Six Nations, because it could be a fanciful notion that the Six Nations does go ahead this year. The organisers have said it will take place as scheduled. Bernard Laporte has said it will take place as scheduled. But the French government has demanded reassurances of safety from England and from Ireland before allowing its team to visit those countries next month. So that could be the sticking point in all of this. If COVID cases continue to rise and deaths continue to rise, and there is a terrible sense of the strain that exists in the UK and Ireland being a danger to the French players, there, you can definitely see a situation, Pat, where they will not be allowed to travel. And that will put the whole thing in jeopardy. And maybe the Women's Six Nations and the under-20s actually are acting before the inevitability here, knowing that later this spring or early summer, as they put it, might be a more realistic time frame. As for the Lions, you mentioned there, a home Lions tour does seem ridiculous. Some people have supported it, but really the whole point of the Lions tour is that you can join forces with your nations here in Ireland and in the UK, but the whole point is that you're playing all your games away from home, and having home advantage plus a combination of nations would just take the whole point and the whole discomfort that is supposed to be associated to the Lions out of it.
And finally, Owen, the LGFA, the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, has lost a champion.
Absolutely. Eamon Ryan, the legendary Cork manager, passed away yesterday. He spent 12 seasons in charge of the Cork women's football team. They won 10 All-Irelands, 10 Munster Championships and 9 National League titles during that time. Winning 10 All-Irelands is an outrageous achievement, no matter who you are and no matter how long you've spent as manager of a team. But to do it in just 12 seasons was absolutely extraordinary. That Cork team was one of the most dominant teams in the history of Irish sport. And it is hugely down to the influence of Eamon Ryan, who knew he had generationally good players, the best players perhaps that Cork football will ever produce. And he got the best out of them. He got the best out of that group, a young crop when he took them over. And they matured not only into champions, but champions that will come back year after year after year and dominate their opposition. A huge loss, as you say. And you can hear some of the tributes over the past 24 hours from some of his players. He was loved as a man as much as he was as a manager of that team.
Owen Sheehan of Off the Ball, thank you very much. And